The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hola, this is Brianna Cespedes, also known as DJ Cubanita, welcoming you to the Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club show with your host, David Hernandez. Whether it's pupusas or tostadas, menudo or pozole, you have found one of the most recognized and respected voices representing the conservative Hispanic community in Los Angeles. So if you're an American of Hispanic descent and believe in family, faith, and opportunity, you just may be a Republican after all. Listen in and you decide. Are you one of us? Remember, brown is the new red, Republican red. So here he is, the man from Land of Lincoln, Lincoln Heights, David Hernandez.
Hola, it's Saturday night, and here we are coming to you live from the CNN Metal Studios in beautiful Glendale, California. And I'm looking over to my left, your right, and there is Mary Ann Bernal. Mary Ann, how are you tonight?
Good evening, everybody. It's been a really good day, good week, so very, very good this evening.
Well, I mean, they're down to the almost, I think they're probably counting a couple of ballots that maybe some pigeon dropped in.
Right.
But it looks like your husband is in the top two going forward in November.
Yes, Benny will be going forward. It looks like 99% of the ballots have been counted, mm-hmm. is what we're told. My understanding is that they keep it that way until they're certified.
Right.
And then it will be, I guess, considered 100% at that point. So, yes, Benny is doing pretty good considering the fact that we, you know, had him, I guess, sign, you know, in to be a candidate almost like the last day. Mm-hmm. So for the 29th district, he will be moving forward.
That's great. And, yes. You know, and we'll go into more of that as we move along. But, you know, a couple of shows ago when you were here, we had a couple of ladies call in. I don't know, one was Brenda, and I think the other one might have been Julie. And they talked about a press conference that was going to take place over at the Stanley Mox Courthouse.
Yes.
And it had to do with these 5G micro towers that were being put in public places.
Yes.
You know, with all of the challenges that we've been facing over the years, I mean, we've been focusing on the vaccines, the mandates, all of these, the firing and all that different stuff, there are many times there's issues that really slip right by us.
Exactly. You know what? There's so much happening, and it's so true. It's like I just feel like we're being overwhelmed with so much.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is you know, so many people don't even understand the 5G.
I don't even know what a G is.
I thought it was money. I don't know. It was like $5,000. Where's that at? Okay, I'll take that.
Well, I'm sure money has something to do with it.
But, a lot of people don't really understand. And so I think I'm looking forward to learning more myself. Mm-hmm. I have a 5G phone. And, you know, sometimes I do. I get scared. I put a pillow between my knees, and I try not to hold my, mm-hmm. my phone. So, you know, you do get scared because you hear so much about it. And there's really no analysis on, you know, what the repercussions would be long term. Because
they're not telling you.
Exactly. So I think this is going to be quite interesting to find out and learn more.
Yeah, and we're going to get to Julian Gresser just in a sec, but we also want to welcome Jennifer Kennedy.
Hello, hello. Good, glad to be back. You're legal. I'm sure everybody's been just sad without legal updates.
Oh, no, are you kidding? Everywhere I go, how's Jennifer? We love Jennifer.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's nice. So nice to
we're
going to
go ahead and bring on an international attorney. He is, I guess, the founder, CEO, president of the Broadband International Legal Network, and we just posted a link to the website. So without further ado, let's go ahead and bring Julian on. Welcome, Julian. You're on the air live with Mary Ann, myself, and Jennifer Kennedy. Welcome.
Well, David, thank you very much. I'm delighted to meet Jennifer and Mary Ann.
Good evening, Julian.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, Julianne, it's what you know. We had talked previously, and it's like I'm really in the dark about this whole issue. But you know, before we jump right into that, can our listeners learn a little bit about you and the field that you're in, and what was your motivation for getting into that field?
Okay, well, very briefly. So I at present have two worlds that I operate in. One is a lawyer, an international environmental public interest lawyer. Mm-hmm. That's where I began, and then 50 years later, that's what I've ended up as. And the other world I'm in is I'm an inventor and explorer, written my autobiography. I've turned 80, called How the Leopard Changed Its Spots, Evolutionary Values for an Age in Crisis. And the reason that's relevant to the subject of the evening is that it goes deeply to the question of what are the values that we live by these days, particularly in light of a world that seems to be capsizing, going into increasingly stormy weather. What values will sustain us, enable us not only to survive but to thrive? It turns out that this 5G juggernaut puts and tests the values that we live by acutely, and I will explain that perhaps as we go further.
Excellent. Now, let's go ahead and so, you know, whenever I see a commercial from, you know, any one of the companies, you know, they're talking about the, you know, this fantastic camera and, you know, come on down, we're going to go ahead and we're going to give you a phone or we're going to give it to you on payments. And, you know, people are running down there. I mean, I've got one, and more it seemed like everywhere I look, people are on the phone, whether they're driving, walking, sitting down. It's like that's their companion. And but the more I'm hearing is that there is some element of concern that we need to, learn about.
Well, okay, so very basics, because I think that would be helpful to your audience. 5G refers not to, G is not money, although it's making tons of monies for the wireless companies and the cell phone companies and so forth. It stands for generation, fifth generation. And we've done reasonably well with first, second, third, even fourth generation. But this is a really significant leap. And you're not being told about it, really, except for all the virtues that are claimed. But it requires a higher level of densification because the wavelength frequency is shorter, the bands are shorter, and therefore the signal is more direct, it's not spread out, and therefore you have to densify these towers in order to deliver the signal. So that's sort of technically, and by the way, the companies are rapidly evolving into 6G, which will most likely intensify the densification of things. Now, why do we really need 5G? Well, we need 5G because you have to understand this in terms of infrastructure, that there are three uses that are being touted that we're supposed to assume are virtuous in themselves, so much so that they override everything else. The first is streaming. People want to have very fast streaming no matter where they are. I mean, nobody's asking, well, what's the cost to them and their children and their community? No, it's streaming. The second is autonomous vehicles. We have to have autonomous vehicles. And so why do we have to have autonomous vehicles? Autonomous vehicles are going to deliver far more radiation, as I'll explain in a second. And then finally, we've got to have it has to be ubiquitous. We have to have it because in Internet of Things, you probably have heard that term. Mm-hmm. I mean, every device in your house has now got to be following 5G and reporting on your behavior. To whom? Well, really, your refrigerator is now turned into an agent.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Your stove is now an agent. Your regular phone is now reporting on you.
Well, I think I heard a story of somebody whose vehicle reported to his insurance company his driving habits, and they raised his rates.
Oh, my God, that's crazy.
So Marianne, I think it was Marianne was saying, she doesn't know, she puts it on her lap or this and that. Some ladies put it in their bras. Some people put it in the back pocket. Well, it turns out that there's a whole range of risks that we are actually being enforced to accept. I mean, because this is the critical question is, it sounds like nobody in this, in the present call, yourself, David, or Jennifer, Marianne, has actually been asked permission whether to give their most personal information to some remote actor. But there are a number of risks. I'll just list them now. One is, and one which you mentioned, it's so ubiquitous, it's your constant companion. That was very telltale, what you said in the beginning, because we're talking about addiction. Addiction to these devices. There is a whole spate of lawsuits now. There's so many lawsuits being filed on behalf of children and their parents because children are being addicted. Mm-hmm. In the federal court, in Northern California, in the California state courts, children are being addicted. Now, addiction, why are they being addicted? Because they can't, some of these kids spend 5-10 hours a day looking at screens,
yes.
Screen time addiction, when they could be out there sniffing the flowers or kicking up their heels, climbing in the mountains. And so screen time addiction is a really critical issue, but the technology itself is intended to be addicted. These algorithms are written to addict. That means they're written to harm, to take away choice. But that's not all. Fire. We've had significant fires, as you know, in Los Angeles. There's significant fire risk, both in terms of the fact that these cell towers blow up, that they leak radiation, which affects certain plants that then become combustible. And we are being told it's necessary to have resilient hubs supported by wireless. Wireless is the least resilient technology. It goes down. There are power outages. And therefore, it's not suitable in terms of emergencies. And then, of course, local communities have been the target of cyber attacks. I don't know whether the audience realizes it's a prime target. But the purpose of this infrastructure, which is the subject of litigation in which I'm co-counsel, is entirely vulnerable to the extent it's dependent upon wireless to cyber attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, these devices leak radiation. They emit radiation. You have to be irradiated if you're having 5G, not only in your home, but even when you go out. If you have densified towers everywhere, they're pouring out radiation, electromagnetic field radiation. And then on top of this, you've been not informed. So this is abridging very fundamental constitutional rights. As a lawyer, you know, you have a right to due process. I got into this, you asked me, several years ago. I mean, filed a lawsuit 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. But then before that, people in Topanga Canyon are just waking up with macro towers right beside their bedroom with no notice, no hearing, nothing, and being told that this is safe. It's the very opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And so it raises very profound questions of due process, of the rights of local communities in the states, and these companies are taking advantage of compliant. First of all, they're in league with hugely wealthy people that are backing them, that are patrons, and then are manipulating these local authorities that are completely surrendering their stewardship, their responsibility to the public to promote the interests of these companies without any kind of fair balance. So I hope that gives you a sense that this is a formidable, unprecedented set of risks. And the most important thing is we're talking about industrial infrastructure. That means you can't just with a wave of your hand reverse it.
Well, how does with many projects they require environmental impact reports. How is the county, allowing this to take place without the proper investigation and determination of the risk.
Yeah, well, you put your finger exactly on a legal issue, which is in part one of the central points of this case. The specific answer to that is the Board of Supervisors feels that they don't have to bother. That is really their position. They have a cynical disregard for the environmental laws. The law you're talking about is called the California Environmental Quality Act. Mm-hmm. This is what is called a little NEPA. This is part of the larger federal structure that was created in the 1980s to protect local communities as well as federal actions that are major. And local communities and states were encouraged to take the model of the National Environmental Policy Act and create laboratories where they go even beyond it. And the Board of Supervisors is taking the position without any with any foundation that they are exempt from CEQA in regard to legislative actions such as passing an ordinance, which is the subject of our litigation. So in law, this is called a repeal by implication. What they're doing is they don't want to take the flak politically of getting up and saying we're now repealing CEQA. So what do? They try to basically gut it. They try to strip it down. They try to render it so weak that it is effectively repealed without going through constitutional processes to repeal it. So this is a critical point. A highly dangerous, highly cyber insecure energy hog, energy highly inefficient. These use enormous amounts of energy, directly opposite to other policies which recognize climate change, the necessity to conserve energy. This is the direct opposite, but because there's so much power with this industry that it really calls the shots. And the public believes that it doesn't have any power, which I think is the central point of this discussion tonight.
Right, is bringing that awareness because, you know, I was talking with Jennifer, and she was talking when she got her 5G phone that the service in the area was worse than with 4G. And that's I said, well, that's why they want to put these things every 200 to 500 feet. I mean, that's almost unbelievable that they want to have so many.
Yeah, and there's been no prior risk assessment, no environmental assessment, no health impact assessment, nor even product assessment. This technology is designed to be rapidly obsolete. Well, why is that? So they can hit up the consumers to buy a new one, an even more so-called powerful 5G. But it's, in fact, an even more toxic, even more addictive, even more wasteful technology, all for the god of the Internet of Things. Can you believe it?
Mm-hmm.
Or who wants an autonomous vehicle? What are the societal benefits that we should put our children and our families and people who we hold dear and this beautiful environment at risk for autonomous vehicles, fast streaming, and an Internet of Things? What about an Internet for people, not an Internet for things?
Right. You know, one of the things that I'm curious, Julian, is I think with most things, you know, within, you know, politics and all the different issues, is just getting information, educating the public. I'm just curious, what are you trying to do? I know you're on the radio now trying to educate people, but what other means are you using to try to get to people? Are you using social media to try to educate the public on what is happening? What other ways are you trying to educate the public?
Okay, so let me back up a little bit and then answer your question. One could organize this whole program and this interview with me or discussion with you around a single idea. Let's call it the power of no. The public has a right to say no. Now, one of the means that we're a powerful means to raise awareness is to bring a lawsuit.
Yes.
And so that's what we are doing, and we will get an opinion most likely this week from the Superior Court judge. Now, this is a precedential case because if the Board of Supervisors can get away with what they're doing, they will be able, it will set a precedent not only for Los Angeles County and set the destiny for the foreseeable future, because this is infrastructure, but all the other counties in California and beyond will follow the precedent of this case. But your question was, well, in addition to litigation, what are we doing? And actually, on April 3rd, I'm put together a course on what I think is an online and live course. And the key idea is to introduce, for those who participate and want to train with me, a new model of leadership, which is called synergistic resilient leadership. It's based on forming effective collaboration and building this core life competency of how to deal with adversity. This is a mega adversity, and the public, as you say, is at ground zero. It knows nothing about it.
Yes.
So we have to rapidly build the capacity of large numbers of people to turn adversity to advantage. Resilience is often thought of as bouncing back, but that is inadequate. We have to develop the capacity to flow, to turn adversity to advantage. And this whole area, the opportunity for the public to say no. No, we're not. We have rights. We have human dignity. We have specific things that we demand before our whole lives are transformed for the benefit of a few companies. Now, it's important to understand that this situation is presented as a tragic choice. Do you want to have a cell phone that is powerful, or do you not? That is a false choice. This is not about having a cell phone. Of course you can have a cell phone. Consumers have a right to cell phones. It's part of our infrastructure. But why do we have to have 5G?
Yes.
I mean, 4G worked pretty well.
I thought so.
In fact, it was working better than the 5G in my neighborhood. Right. Absolutely.
Okay. So this is critical as part of understanding, to understand that you can have it. This is not about denying the public an essential facility, a cell phone. Of course you should have a cell phone. It's useful. These companies have technology which they're suppressing about the safety of what we're talking about. 4G works perfectly well. Optical fiber gets you a much faster service, certainly to the home. And do you really need, in order for all these risks that I mentioned, to have the option of radiating yourself outside the home with 5G? I mean, it's preposterous. Now, the point is, how come you haven't heard about the risks? Well, the FDA has suppressed the risks. The FDA is supposed to be regulating the industry. Instead, it's captive is the term that's used, and it's supporting the industry, and it's suppressing. Even on its own website, there are pictures of young women with cell phones right next to their ear. Mm-hmm. When we have pointed out, based on the thousands and thousands of people that contact us who are being injured, who are sleeping in their cars, who can no longer live in their homes, we pointed out that there's a high risk of gliomas, a brain cancer, from putting your cell phone next to you. And the FDA took one of these images away in response to our letter, but then refused to take the other, saying it's uncertain. It's not, you know, the uncertainty is used as a cudgel against the public. Of course, all of science is uncertain. The point is, who bears the burden? Now, these companies know the risks. They can control the risks, and they have infected a regulatory subsidy in order to operate where they don't have to pay for any of the, what's called in economics, the externalities, the harms they're imposing. If the government was actually doing its job, these costs would be internalized to the companies, and then you'd see companies that had safer products that gave consumers an opportunity to opt out, that disclosed the risks, would have competitive advantage, because then consumers could use their power.
Right.
Consume, that's the key to this.
Now, Julian, we only have 1 minute left, and we do want to have you back after the court hearing. But how can people find out more information about the issue? How can they contact you if they suffered an injury?
Okay. So in terms of the legal side, as you noted, the website is BBELON, Broadband International Legal Action Network, right. .com. In terms of the course, where we will actually take this case to build leaders in this community who will have the opportunity to opt out, to insist on safe laboring, to use the labels, to use their power of buying power, and so forth. This is a kind of martial art that people can learn very quickly and powerfully in 12 weeks to build their integral resilience. So my website is justclick.earth, and you go to the course. It's going to begin on April 3rd, and we would really welcome those that would like to form a cohort to really put together a collaborative strategy and implement it effectively in a way that will support the litigation. The public Perfect. Can do a lot. You don't have to be a lawyer to be able to level the playing field.
Excellent. Now, what we'll do is we'll have you back maybe next week, Julian, to give an update on the hearing, and then we'll also then start promoting the course for April. Thank you so much for all that you're doing.
Thank you, Julian.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marianne. Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate it, David.
There we go.
All right.
Look at that first half hour.
Fascinating.
Well, there's the music. Get that cell phone off my desk. And,
by the way, if you didn't hear that website, again, it's www.bbilan.org. And that is Julian's website with his international law firm. If you want to check out everything he's been talking about and all his different projects he's got going on, there's a million of them. So again, bbilan.org.
And you're listening to the Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club with myself, David Hernandez, Marianne Bernal, Jennifer Kennedy, and we'll be right back with the Capital Watch Report. And we're back, and we hope everyone is listening on their computer, not on their 5G phone.
And certainly not holding it up to your head.
Yes. Yeah, up to your head.
Put it on speaker.
Or someplace else. I mean, or, be careful if you see those little things up on the poles, and they have, the little blue light. Someone's watching. So, Marianne, I mean, it's like it doesn't stop.
I know.
No matter where we turn. And so it's
job security.
Yeah, job security. So, and it's like, and because there's so much going on, but before we get into some of the other local news, because, that's one of the strong points, I think, of this show, Jennifer, is that we really cover a lot of stuff that's happening to real people in L.A. City, L.A. County. I mean, with the mandatory vaccines, all of the things going on in the schools and the kids. It's, there's other shows that really, they talk about international stuff and things like that. But this is what's going on in your neighborhood.
That's right.
And I think that's where our strength comes in.
Yes.
And I know that there are many people that rely on you to get them informed about what's coming out of Sacramento or mm-hmm. what's taking place locally. So welcome, everyone. This is Jennifer Kennedy.
Thank you. Thank you. Great to be back. And I wanted to start my Capital Watch by talking. I need to alert everybody that remember last session, one of the worst bills ever that we fought and that sadly was enacted was AB 665. Mm-hmm. And we called that state-sanctioned kidnapping because no matter how the authors lied about what that bill did, they pretended that this was money, funding for low-income kids to get counseling without parental consent. That's what they pretended it was. But it really was an emancipation bill. And the true text of AB 665 now allows children as young as 12 years old to run away from home, take themselves out of their parents' custody, and put themselves into residential shelter. And flip that. It really allows an adult to take a child away from adult custody, his
yes.
parents, his family, and check that child into residential shelter. That passed. That is the law of the land. Every child in the state of California is at risk for this because these are the kids that – this could be any kid. The Scott Wieners of the world and the LGBTQ caucus, they wanted to pretend that this was somehow – that the conservative response to AB 665 was somehow attacking trans kids or whatever. They tried to paint it the wrong way. The truth is AB 665 is dangerous for every child – every family.
That's
because
right.
This can mean that an impetuous child who's angry at mom and dad can suddenly decide to leave home and go to that residential shelter down the street. And suddenly they've opened a Pandora's box of a state messing in that family. You're going to have CPS at your door. You're going to find out why is this child a runaway, et cetera. That was AB 665. There is a new bill that is just as bad. And frankly, it draws it full circle now. And this bill is called AB 2007. So it's AB 2007. And it's what we predicted last session, which is once the state has shaken loose a generation of children from their homes and separated from their parents and put them kind of in the streets into homes, who's going to pay for that? And how can they make money on it? And the way they do this is by building what they call unicorn homes. And the unicorn homes are going to be filled with state-funded, government-employed workers of, you know, who knows, who, backgrounds that are going to receive these children who are runaways or they're on the streets or they're needing this or pushed into transitional housing. And these unicorn homes, they already exist. They're already out there. But AB 2007 is looking for funding for what they call homeless youth transitional housing. But the youth in this bill are age 18 to 24.
What?
Funny that the last time I checked, youth were under 18.
Right.
Right.
But this bill says we're going to help homeless youth 18 to 24 by funding all these new LGBT, specific
wow.
LGBT unicorn homes. Now, we know why.
What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong?
Right.
Number one, it's a boondoggle. We already have this series of homes. Number two, this is exactly the pathway that they're starting this state on, pushing kids out of their homes onto the street and into these homes where they charge the state or they bill mm-hmm. Medi-Cal upwards of $14,000 a head.
Wow.
It is a money-making operation. It is essentially a trafficking operation where
That's
if you get
a great,
the kids
a great title.
Into the homes and then – because the question always is, how does a family get their child back? Once a child has left home under AB 665 and has put him or herself into this residential shelter for no good reason, remember, this was the problem with AB 665. It took away what we called the danger guardrails of why a child would be allowed to consent to going into shelter. It took those away. So now any child can just put themselves into shelter for no good reason. You don't have to allege or have evidence of my parents are dangerous or my home is dangerous.
I'm not
or
being
anything.
Affirmed.
Exactly. Well, that's what they can say now. See,
yeah.
I don't feel safe at home because somebody's not using my preferred pronouns. And then they get to be put in residential shelter. Well, AB 2007 is the money boondoggle for that. So we need to begin right now alerting your assembly people and your state senators that they need to look at this, understand it, and oppose it, because this thing has already passed its first committee hearing, which was last week. And of course, Aaron Friday and I, we had people up there to oppose. But you know, it was disappointing. The lone Republican on the committee, this was the Community and Housing Development Committee, Joe Patterson, he abstained. He didn't even bother logging a vote mm-hmm. in committee,
and so,
which should be a no.
It's AB, that's Assembly.
It's
District.
Assembly. It's
assembly
that's
bill.
Right. This is,
who's on that committee?
Well, you know what? I don't even have the list in front of me of who, but he's the vice chair.
Oh,
Joe
vice
Patterson
chair. Okay.
Is the vice chair because he's the minority, and mm-hmm. they always give him the vice chairship. But this is AB 2007. It needs to be stopped. Not only is it a bad idea, it's real as usual. It's really poorly written. It's so vague. It's so completely vague, and it's going to – it has way more questions than it answers. So just put that on your radar. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was another bad bill that I had in front of me, which is SB4. This is a law that Scott Wiener actually put into place last session. And this is the one where he wants to put homeless people into religious institutions and education institutions. Basically, churches and schools that are empty, he wants to put homeless people in them. I want people to be aware of that going on because it's been making the rounds on Twitter. And these are just one of the other things where Scott Wiener is trying to create high density and put homeless anywhere he wants. And this law, SB 4, is already in effect. So people just need to know that these are the things that they're up there doing even now. And call your legislator about AB 2007. The other thing going on, of course, is the constant drumbeat here in the city of Los Angeles to end the COVID vaccination mandate that remains to this day. Every day there's new information coming out about the damage to people from the shots. Every day there's more. Like when Julian was on here talking about the FDA withholding information or suppressing information, we just learned this week, of course, that the FDA was forced to take down all of its criticisms and social media content that was dismissive and negative about ivermectin because they were liars and it was wrong. And a lawsuit filed by three doctors, including Mary Talley Bowden, successfully got a settlement to force the FDA to take these things down. Does everybody remember that tweet where the FDA had a picture of the woman with a horse? And it's, remember, they tried to pretend ivermectin was an animal medicine, a horse dewormer that people were supposed to not. And so the tweet said, you aren't a horse. Stop it, y'all. And it was – that was actually the FDA's number one tweet of all time. It was so – but that was the one that absolutely maligned ivermectin. And that is what they just had to wipe off and take down.
Wow.
So that was exciting news. But back to the mandate, I'm still working, of course, for against City of Los Angeles, County of Los Angeles, and LA Unified as we litigate against those mandates that cost people their jobs, their livelihoods, their benefits. And I'm also stepping out of the state. And I flew up to Washington State just last week to help out a group of firefighters up in Snohomish, Washington, who were – they weren't terminated like the guys down here in Los Angeles, but it was strange. They were forced into unpaid leave when their department decided they were going to come out with a vaccine mandate. And all the eight got religious exemptions granted. Mm-hmm. But get this, the accommodation – at the Snohomish Regional Fire and Rescue was to choose to go on unpaid leave for 8 months. No money, no benefits, no nothing.
Kind of sounds like what happened to Tracy Schroeder.
Sounds like they were choosing to fire themselves. Mm-hmm. See, and that just was absolutely wrong. That was not the right tack to take. And these firefighters suffered. Here's the crazy thing about the Snohomish guys. Around them, there were many other little districts of fire districts that worked with the guys on mutual calls. And all of them didn't have a mandate. So routinely, they would be on the same calls with unvaccinated people of unvaccinated status, and their department didn't care. It's not like the department said, well, you can't mix and mingle with those guys. But only for the guys who had the religious exemptions did they say, well, you're going to have to be off the line. You're going to have to go home for a year, right, of unpaid leave. So all of this was wrong. They sued. They got a negative ruling in the trial court, and so I am appealing. We are appealing on their behalf to fight that lame ruling in the trial court, and I'm super excited about that.
Good.
So I will keep you posted.
There was so much wrong with that. The AB 2007, I am just so surprised. I shouldn't be surprised. But I can't believe they're continuing, especially in an election year.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I think that works for us. That works for us conservatives.
Yes.
Because you know what? People don't want this.
Right.
And if you look at Europe, they're way ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
They're having to pull back on a lot of this.
All the gender interventions.
Yes, they're
absolutely
pulling back. And it's like, mm-hmm. we don't have to take it as far as they took it, because all we got to do is look what they're doing over there and seeing that it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of issues that the kids ended up having a lot of suicides.
That's right. And the suicides, they want to trot out those statistics that as if your supposedly trans-identifying child is going to commit suicide if you don't allow them to transition.
Would you rather have a live daughter or a dead boy?
Right.
However they do it.
This is the horrible fear-mongering they do when the truth is the suicide rate skyrockets after those children realize what they did to themselves, after they have detransitioned and find that their lives and their bodies are ruined. That's when the suicides happen.
Right.
So that's what we have to ask. You know, our candidates talk about this election and how this is bad for them. Even when you have a candidate running, a Democrat running, who has no record, right? It's an open seat. Maybe they want this seat.
Thankfully, my husband, Luz Riva, she voted for all these AB bills.
Well, that's the thing.
That are for the transitioning and hiding stuff from your parents.
Every single Democrat did.
That's, you know, the whole thing is, the ironic thing is that the reason why he got in this race is because of that. And he was actually going against Tony Cardenas. And he thought he was going to be going against him, but we actually got the person, the reason why he actually got in the race.
This is really exciting in Benny's race because we have the incumbent Luz Rivas, who's a Democrat, and then there was a third challenger, a Democrat, but Benny knocked her out. And so we now have a nice race between a Republican and a Democrat, and Luz is also the one who famously, in the Public Safety Committee, she originally voted no on the bill to classify child sex trafficking as a serious felony. Hear that? She voted no on that. And only when there was massive public backlash of how on earth could you not classify that as a serious felony did she backpedal. And suddenly she voted yes. She needs to be reminded of that every single time, because what was that flip-flop? And when is she going to do that kind of flip-flop again?
Right.
Every single one of these Democrats needs to be reminded of their record of all of these bills that are anti-child, anti-family, and absolutely disgusting. And every single one of them votes for them.
Yes.
And when you have a new Democrat challenger out there, you need to say, if you're still a Democrat, you tell me why.
Right.
Because you are the party that's hurting families and children.
And people need a little. I'm a grandma. I have a 6-year-old, a 13, she'll be 14, and a one just turned 17. And it's mind-boggling when I talk to people and we talk about these issues because it's gigantic to me. And when people just talk about, like, you know, well, the Democrats, I don't care what party, because I used to vote nothing but Democrats. I just turned into a Republican 2 months ago. I've always been an independent forever since I was in my 20s. But when we're talking about these issues, I'm like, you know, these are your kids. Are you going to side with your party before your kids? I don't care if it was Republicans. I'm telling you, I don't care if it was my own mom and dad. If they're going to be doing this to my kids, I'm sorry, you're out. You're done. See you later. My kids are going to come first. The kids are going to come first. We need to protect them. Their brain's not fully formed until, what, they're 25 years old.
That prefrontal
cortex.
They can't
get a tattoo.
That's right.
They can't get a gun. Mm-hmm. They can't get a driver's license. But they can get hormones at 12 years old.
See, and that's what's backwards in the state of California. On the one hand, when we saw that bill last session where they wanted to protect the boys from football. They wanted to stop the boys
this
from
playing
tackle football.
This is going to be a great segue to my next comment. So.
Okay.
But then they want to say that 12-year-olds can decide their gender and that they can opt in to all these gender interventions, which is completely wrong. So we're going to stop that. By the way, I'm glad you mentioned the word protect. We're going to stop that with our Protect Kids California initiative. We are cranking up the heat on getting the signatures on this initiative. Again, go to www.protectkidsca.com. Please download the petition, sign it yourself, and then get 100 signatures of your own and send them into the committee. We've got a big deadline coming up. April 8th is the day we need to have all of our signatures in to the committee so that we can cure them, we can vet them before we turn them over to the state in May.
Yeah, and that's important.
And this is really good. I talked to Benny about it. I'm like, you know what? This is really good for us to go sit in front of the markets with the table. You get your flyer out at the same time you get a petition signed.
That's right.
And you know what? People are going to, when you see Protect Our Kids, people are all for protect protecting the
kids.
That's
right. And you know who loves, again, this is going to do three things. We're going to protect, respect, and reject. We're going to protect our girls' sports and spaces. We'll respect our parents' rights to know what's going on with their child at school. And if a child is trans-identifying, that's a behavioral red flag you need to know about. And we're going to reject the barbaric sterilization and mutilation of our kids in the name of gender-affirming care in the state of California. We are a trans sanctuary state right now, but we are going to change that because we, the people, agree with this initiative. We get it on the ballot and it wins.
Yes. No, absolutely. You know, and speaking of one of the things you were talking about, you know, this at Brianna, what she does at the opening of the show is I'm from the land of Lincoln Heights.
Lincoln Heights.
Because, you know, many people don't realize that the community of Lincoln Heights, just east of Los Angeles, was named after Abraham Lincoln. And so you have Lincoln Park, which is there now. And there's a big bust of Abraham Lincoln there. Every once in a while, somebody throws some red paint on it, on his head. But that's in City Council District 14. But you also have Lincoln High School. And Lincoln High School, I mean, that is my father graduated from Lincoln High. And they have a football stadium there called the Kenny Washington Stadium. And there is a foundation. And, you know, now that the school district is flushed with facility money, mm-hmm. they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars on some of these different schools. Well, there is the Kenny Washington Stadium Foundation that has been working for several years in getting the football field, which is full of gopher holes, full of because of the proximity to the hills around that area. The coyotes are coming down looking for food. There's coyote feces all over the field. I mean, it is a very safe environment for the young people playing football. So they have been trying to get an artificial turf field, just how they have at Notre Dame over in Sherman Oaks. So this is Lincoln High, mm-hmm. and so the foundation had been working with the school board, had been working with the city council, and they had come up with an agreement to go ahead and replace that for like $1.8 million, which at the beginning, that seems like a lot of money, but the fact is that this was a well-known turf company that does specifically for that. Well, what they're facing now is the school district is going to be spending like $220 million on the school with millions of dollars for
pride flags,
for the scoreboard, for the lighting, which is great. But they're going to go with another grass field.
Oh.
And the estimate that the school is giving those that wanted the artificial turf, a $10 million grass field. Now, wait a minute. What's going on here?
Does someone's brother own a turf company?
Well, today I had a very good conversation with Stephen Serrano Lampson, who is president of the KWSF, the Kenny Washington Stadium Foundation. And so what they're really, reaching out because regardless of what they do, you're still going to have the same proximity. So you're going to have a beautiful stadium with an unsafe grass field. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be talking about that because that, you know, like I said, local issues. And so, I look forward to having Stephen in studio next week, and we'll be talking about that. But you can go ahead and start, contacting the city council member is Kevin DeLeon. You know, let him know that you want to support Lincoln High and to have the a field just as good as Notre Dame, and also the school board member, Dr. Rivas. She's basically cut off communication between the foundation because their mind is set. They want to go in a specific direction. And so we'll cover that. But also in the news, there's all these different wonderful things going on. More often than not, people they ask us how we feel about reparations. And so I said,
depends on what kind of reparations.
I think reparations begin in that little tiny Hispanic hollow that used to be called Chavez Ravine. And you had all sorts of homes that were there. You had the little markets. You had all these little thriving industries.
And for our listeners, David, when this is back in the 70s, right? And before, right?
Yeah,
when,
way before, yeah.
Yeah, long.
Yeah, and so what happened was the city of Los Angeles took the property by eminent domain, basically saying they were going to build low-income housing, which was going to benefit the community. And so, I mean, some people went and sold their property. And it was taken by eminent domain. Others, they were dragged off the property when they wouldn't sell. And the bulldozers came in and they leveled the neighborhoods. And so Wendy Carrillo introduced a bill in the assembly to start studying the reparations for Chavez Ravine. And the fact is, this is a particular instance where we can determine exactly who was impacted. We can determine the amount of money that they were harmed, and they can go ahead and be compensated. And we know who can compensate them, because the city sold the property to the O'Malley family and brought the Brooklyn Dodgers here. And so whether you're a Dodger fan or not, you should be in favor of an equitable solution to rewriting a wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think, Jennifer, as you said, there's already a precedent because the county did that with the family with the beach property.
Bruce's Beach down in Manhattan Beach that was taken from the African-American family a long time ago, decades and decades ago. And just recently, it was finally returned to the family because that beachfront property is in the millions of dollars,
yes,
wrongly taken then. And that kind of eminent domain compensation, absolutely in favor of that.
Absolutely. So yes, we'll be back. And Marianne, there's some music coming up. So thank you again. We'll see you next week.
Yes.
And Jennifer, thank you.
My pleasure. See you again.
Yep. Ryan, thank you, Ryan. And Sal over there on the phone. We want to thank our number one guest, attorney Julian Gressler. And so for all of you, we'll be back next week with actually in studio with one of the victims of a cell tower injury.
Oh.
And so
it's out there. It's happening.
Out there.
It's real and it's not rare.
Now,
everybody,
there's a lot going on. Go to our website, Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club.com. And you also heard the commercial. You can go to LA Regional Empowerment Fund.com and you can find out what we're doing in that area. So, from all of us to all of you, we'll see you next week.
And don't forget, protectkidscalifornia.com.
You got
there
it.
There you go. Good night.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.